13, starting at verse 9. If you've got the Black Church Bible, that's 1877. 1877. Hebrews 13. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals unto the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city, for we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
It's lovely. I think it's easier to do verse 16 than verse 15, isn't it? I think sometimes it's easier to do good, to share with others, rather than to continually offer a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. And that was the phrase that came to my mind as I was thinking this morning. We thank God for his fruitfulness and the fruitfulness around us and all the things that we enjoy. But I want us to think just for a few moments and to conclude this morning around the Lord's table, because this is, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53 where it says that Jesus will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The travail of his soul, that is the fruit of his life and death, of which, to the glory of God, we are this morning. If you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been saved, you are the fruit of the work of Jesus. And so this morning we thank God for the physical fruits of harvest and that we enjoy. We're going to think about the fruit of our lips, and then we're going to conclude with celebrating and thanking God for his grace to us in Jesus. So just for a few moments this morning, this verse in Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. The big idea of the book of Hebrews is that we no longer need to bring sacrifices, animal sacrifices, as they did in the Old Testament. And that's a distant thing for us. We've never had to do that. For the writers of the readers of Hebrews, it was a thing that was fresh in their memory. Everything had changed. They'd been brought up to offer these animal sacrifices, to go to certain places and to carry out certain rituals. When they came and they heard about Jesus, and they were taught that Jesus had fulfilled all of those sacrifices, there was nothing more for them to do. Everything had been met, all of the requirements had been fulfilled in Jesus himself. The writer here says, look, we don't have to do all of that, but there is one sacrifice that is still appropriate for us to bring. It is the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. So what does he say about it? I'm going to go through several things this morning. I won't dwell on any of them in length, but this will be something for you to chew over and think on afterwards. The thing that I noticed here was that the first thing he says is, therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise is a sacrifice. It's something that we should do continually. That means lots of things. It means that our praise is not reserved for 10:30 and or 6:30 on a Sunday. It is not just something that we do when we come to church. When we come to church, we do together what we're to be doing individually the rest of the time. So we come together, and there is strengthening, there's encouragement in coming together, isn't there? It's good when we get together like this, to, you know, that we're not the only ones. And for those of us who kind of struggle to sing and maybe struggle to be positive and struggle to be praising all the time, to come amongst other people, there is something good about that. But he says praise is to be offered continually. So there's no exceptions or excuses for it. We're to be praising God whether we're at home, going down the shops, whether we're at work, whether it's an easy time or a bad time. We've got to avoid the tendency or the danger of separating our lives into church and the rest of our lives. You know, like Sunday is God's time, and the rest of the week, well, it's my time. Mm-mm. Our whole time is God's time. We've been saved completely. Every day is God's day. So whatever you do, don't think, well, Sunday's the day that I do my praising. We're going to be praising God every day. Wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, we're going to be praising him. And it means praising him regardless of the circumstances that we're in. Continually. That means whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether life's going well or whether it's not. Whether we're feeling sad or anxious or unsettled, as well as the times that we're happy and, you know, joy-filled. We're to be praising him the whole time. I'll say a little bit more about that later on. But the point is here, it's never a bad time. It's never a wrong time to praise God. In fact, it's wrong not to be praising God. We're to be bringing a sacrifice of praise continually to him. Second thing, praise is a sacrifice that we're all called to make. He says, let us continually. That little word, that includes everybody. He doesn't say, let the priests continue, let the pastors continue, let the deacons or the elders, those who've got lots of money, those who are secure in their job, those who've got the family around them. He doesn't say that. He says, let us continually offer. You know, the truth is we're all priests to the Lord. If you're a child of God, the Bible says you're a priest. And priest is to be bringing an offering to the Lord. It's not just for the spiritual few. It's for all of us. It's not just for the leaders. It's not just for the music team. It's not just for those who are upbeat and vibrant and optimistic kind of people. It's there for all of us, regardless of our character or our situation in life. So it's a sacrifice for us all. It's a sacrifice of praise that's to be heard by others. He said, notice, he says, it's the fruit of our lips. It's the fruit of our lips. It's not just our hearts. It's what's in our hearts should be coming out from our lips. And so it's not just our emotions. It's not just our feelings. It's not just our attitude. It needs to be done. Now, I understand some will say, but I can't sing. I haven't got a good voice. Listening to some of you, that's very true. I hope you keep the microphone down when we're singing, because, you know, my voice is, I don't claim to have a good voice. It is true that some have the voice of a nightingale, and some people's voice is more like a gale in the night. But, you know, but you can use it. That rang true with somebody, obviously. We can use the voice that God has given us to praise it. I love the bit in the Psalms where it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen? Make a joyful noise. It doesn't matter whether it's a good noise or a bad noise. Understand what I'm saying in this context. It's about making a noise for God. He's not worried whether you've got a trained voice. He's concerned, have you got a trained heart? A heart that's trained to praise him continually. It's to be heard by others. You say, you know, well, I get embarrassed. You ask me to sing a solo, no way would I ever sing a solo. It just freaks me out. And yet I'll go to football, and I'll be there, and I'll go along with the best of them. Aren't we strange? There are times when we will sing, and there are times when, you know, if we could, I know that a lot of you don't go to football, but Robin, when you're sailing your yacht, you know, whatever. You know, if we're doing it in one thing, why won't we praise the Lord? Why can we sing secular songs and we don't put our hearts and our souls into praising the Lord with, you know, songs that glorify him? But then some might say, but Stuart, you're talking about praising the Lord. Do you know how hard life is for me? Do you not understand what I have to put up with in my house or at home? Do you not know what God has allowed to happen to me? How can I praise him when this is going on or that has happened or that's been done in my life? So I want to give you a couple of keys this morning that will, I hope, release praise in your life. A couple of keys to release praise. The first thing is, how can we praise God for when we're not feeling like praising? How can we praise God when things are going wrong? The first thing to remember, and I think this is the most important thing, is we need to believe what Jesus has said. We need to believe the promises of God. So often our praise is based, understandably, our praise is based on how we feel. If we feel good, if we feel that things are happening nice to us, then we'll praise him. Real praise will come, regardless of our circumstances, when we trust and believe the promises of God. When we realize that God has said something and we trust him for it. And we say, God has said it, then I'm going to believe it. God has said it, it must be so. I don't feel it, I don't see it, but God has said it, therefore it is true. And I will praise him for that. The key to praise is simple faith and trust in him. You see, unbelief and fear are the biggest enemies, the biggest killers of praise. If you don't believe God, then you're not going to praise him. If you're doubting what he's said, if you're doubting his promises, you're not going to praise him because you're going to be worried. You're going to be anxious. If you take what God says, take him at his word, claim his promises. We should have sung this song this morning, you know, standing on the promises of Christ, my Lord. Some of you know that old hymn. You know, that's where we need to stand. We need to place ourselves on the promises. We need to believe them and get above our emotions and our feelings. That doesn't mean that we deny them. It doesn't mean that we kind of ignore them. We pretend that we're not feeling sad. It just means this is happening, but God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. He has promised to me that in all things he will work for my good. He has promised to be with me in all things. He's not left me. He's not deserted me. So go back and think about Jesus and claim his promises and walk with them. Here's some other more substantial things that you do. Think about what you do have rather than what you don't have. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But so often we look at what we don't have and we forget. Because I think it's the nature that we have, that we forget all that we have. You see, the truth is, as God's children, we have huge amounts to praise God for. There was an old hymn written by a guy many, many, many years ago, a couple of centuries ago. It was about prayer, but I think it fits with praise as well. It's, have you no words, the hymn says this, have you no words, think again, words flow apace when you complain. And fill your creatures, fellow creatures' ears with a sad tale of all your care. It's easy to complain. It's easy to be talking about, oh, I haven't got this, and do you know what's happened? So we're so easy to complain. Let's think about what we have. Let's fill our fellow creatures' ears with praise to God. Let praise be continually the fruit of our lips. Praise him for the blessings of your life, the things that you have, your strength, your faculties. Yeah, I know some of us have got less than we had, but thank him for what you've got. Praise him that you've got food in your cupboard to eat today. Thank him that you've got safe water to drink. There are billions in the world without safe water. Praise him that you're not a refugee that's been forced out from your home. Praise him that we live in a country with stable government, whether we agree with what they do or not. We live in a country with stable government. Praise God that we've got a church with friends in it, people who love us and care for us and support us and understand. Praise God for the carers that maybe come in to look after your relatives, or for some of you, maybe even come to look after you. Praise him for those things. Praise God for who he is. Praise God for who he is. Don't forget that he never changes. Regardless of how you feel, God is always the same. He's always just. He's always wise. He's always loving. He's always holy. He's always in control. He's always the God of compassion. He always loves you. He's always committed to you. Yeah? See, regardless of how you feel at any one point in your life, that's true of God. That's what he's like. Isn't he worth praising for that? Aren't you glad that you haven't got a God who's subject to the ups and downs of life? Your God is a rock, and you can stand on him. Praise God always. Let the praise, the sacrifice of praise always, continually be on our lips. Let's think about him. Let's think about what we've got. Let's think also about what he's done for you. Think about what he's done for you. He's loved you before the foundation of the world. He saved you. He adopted you into his family. You're one of God's children now. He's committed himself to you. He's given you the Holy Spirit to work in you, to help you, to support you. And he's guaranteed you heaven when you finish this life as well. This is what you have. And if you're still struggling to praise him, then think of the cost of those things to him. Think of the cost. Think what he went through, leaving heaven, becoming a man, being misunderstood, going through a mock trial, being disbelieved, being rejected, being killed. Just a list of things that trip off the tongue, but just pause and think about those in your own leisure, in your own time. You think that's what he did for you. Is he not worth praising, regardless of your circumstances? Thank God also, lastly, for his commitment to you now. This God, the God of heaven and earth, is for you, not against you. You are his child. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And praise God for what he will do for you as well. It says in the verse, it says in verse 14, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." Are you looking forward to heaven? As a Christian, that's what you've got. Whatever your circumstances, however hard life is, whatever pain that you live with, you've got heaven to come. It's not always going to be like this. You're going to get a new body. The aches and the pains, the agony that you go through will be taken away. And you're going to be with God and you're going to see him and you're going to be like him, not just for a period of time, but for all eternity. That deserves a hallelujah, doesn't it? A couple of brief things at the end. What are the benefits of praising the Lord? Because there are benefits. It's not just a good thing to do. There are benefits. When you're praising the Lord, when you're thinking of what he's done, you will feel better. You will feel better for it. Because you'll be thinking of all that you have rather than you don't. Just give me a nod if you've found that to be true in your life. All right? Some of you are not sure. Talk to someone who's found that true in their life. And it will encourage you. You will feel better for praising the Lord. When we have our eyes and our hearts fixed on him, it gives us a better perspective on life. It brings peace of heart and mind because it's taking your minds off the other things that are part of life at that time. So you'll feel better, and do you know what? Others will feel better as well. I wonder if any of you live with somebody or work with somebody who's a moaner. No one likes to be around somebody who's always being critical. No one likes to be around a person who's negative. Others will benefit when we start to focus on the Lord, when we praise him, when we're full of the good things of life, when we're those that arrest the downward spiral of conversation, the moaning and the negativity and the grumbling, when we're the ones that say, hey, but come on, look at something, and we turn the conversation round to something good. We're all grateful for people like that. Why don't we be people like that for other people? So that we become a fragrance pleasing to the Lord. That when people come in, you know, we walk in the room. There are some people, they come in the room and you think, oh no. There are others, they come in the room, you say, I'm glad they're there, don't they? Isn't it glorifying to God if we're the kind of person that people are glad when we're around? Lord, make me a person like that. Make you a person like that. Let the sacrifice of praise continually be on our lips. And let us do good to all people. Now let us come. We're going to sing a song and then we'll share communion together this morning, as we think about our Lord and his sacrifice for us that set us free. For here above everywhere is the reason for us to praise, to be optimistic, to have hope and to have confidence in the Lord. If you're a child of God, if you've got that belief in him this morning, I'm not asking whether life is good for you. I'm not asking whether you're feeling, you know, what your feelings are. I'm asking you this morning, and I'm inviting you this morning, that if you know that Jesus is your Savior, you've trusted him, then come and feed on him and his grace and see what it would do to your heart. Let's